Networking and marketing made simple is for you, the business owner who has a product, a service, or a message that you believe in. My name is Scott Aaron, and each week we'll take a behind-the-scenes look into the real-world marketing and networking tactics and strategies for getting what you have in front of you to a lot more people. Thanks for spending time with me, and now let's get started.
Hello, hello. This is Nancy Evans Aaron, and I'm coming in live. Well, just kidding. If you're listening to this on YouTube or a podcast, might not be live, but with the wonderful Scott Aaron, and we're doing a dual episode of Networking and Marketing Made Simple and Entrepreneur Rescue Mission. And I thought it would be so much fun, right, to get Scott on here, who, for those of you who don't know, Scott is a LinkedIn expert. He's a speaker, he's a coach, a best-selling author, and really knows his stuff when it comes to LinkedIn. And LinkedIn is, in my opinion, a wonderful place to be, right? It's a great platform to be to really make some authentic, awesome connections, really generate some leads and some power partners for your business. And so I thought it'd be really fun to do a little Q&A, right? We've done this in the past where Scott's actually asked me questions, but I thought it'd be fun to kind of do the same thing with him. So Scott, are you open to doing a rapid fire Q&A? And does this sound okay?
It sounds great. I am ready.
Awesome. All right. So guys, again, this is totally unscripted. So Scott's going to be giving us some wonderful tips, and you know, it's a little off the cuff. So I'm hoping I can surprise him with some of these questions, but I'm going to keep it fairly simple at the beginning. So when it comes to LinkedIn, Scott, if I am just getting started and I want to start posting some content, how many times a week do you recommend someone who's just getting started should post right on LinkedIn?
So I did a podcast episode earlier today with one of my clients, and he actually asked me the same question. And what I said was, and what I'm going to say right now, is the mistake that a lot of people make is they end up, I would say, over committing. They get really excited. So I correlated this to like podcasting. There's something called pod fade. So people get really, really excited. They want to start a podcast and they start uploading episodes, and then life happens. They take a week off, which turns to 3 weeks, which turns to 6 months, and then it's done. The same thing I see happening with people when they want to create content. And I see it even with clients that I've worked with. I remember telling you, Nancy, that I was checking in on one of our clients, and they hadn't posted anything on LinkedIn in 6 months, even though that's their platform of choice. But I think people overcommit. So what I like to do is I like to actually streamline this process. And it's really funny. We usually talk about this at the end of the episode, but I'm actually doing a free workshop at the end of this month on this exact topic. And it's called Creating Content on LinkedIn That Creates Sales. So there's three pieces of content that I typically like people to start with in the very beginning. So just three pieces of content a week, one on Monday, one on Wednesday, one on Friday. And I like to teach people on Mondays to do a very short form 30 to 60 second tip video. And it's probably the scariest thing for people to do. But in the workshop that I'm going to be doing, I'm going to break it down so it's like super easy and fun. And obviously, you're going to be able to consistently do that. So, and all you have to do is just give value, right? You just have to give tangible things. So it could be a quick business tip of the week. It could be a quick tip of whatever your business, your brand, your offering is, providing value. Now, and here's why video is so powerful, is that the fact of the matter is that video is so powerful. We call video is king, because not only can people hear what you're saying, they can see you. People feel like they're being talked directly to. So it really trims that gap between the customer and the potential person that's looking to serve them. It brings them closer to you. So again, making sure that you post 3 days a week, Monday, starting with a video. Wednesday, I called this your market research post. So you're going to do a LinkedIn poll that you're going to ask your audience a market-based question about a common pain point, a hole, a gap, or a void that is in that person's life and or business that can be solved with something that you can help them with. Very quick example. You can ask your audience on LinkedIn a question as such: what are you struggling most with in your business? Number one, generating leads. Number two, scaling. Number three, creating content. Four, other below, other comment below. Now, what this does, it fuels the ammunition of future content, namely on your post for Friday, which is your third piece of content for that week. So educational information, short form video Monday, market research poll for, again, much needed market research on Wednesday. So whatever the most popular answer is from that poll that you did on Wednesday, you are going to write a post about it on Friday. And you can basically just say, hey, in a poll I conducted the other day, I asked everyone a question, and the overwhelming answer of their biggest struggle was scaling their business. And what I wanted to do in today's post is give you three short tips of what you can do to scale your business. Number one is this, give a little description. Number two is this, little description. Number three is this, little description. Comment below, what was your biggest takeaway? And that is a very, very simple thing that you can do. Monday, video. Wednesday, poll. Friday, information-based post from the information that you learned in the market research on Wednesday.
Got it. So quick recapping that. So how many times a week should people be posting on LinkedIn, Scott?
Three, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Excellent. Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. The next question I have for you, question number two is, should people put a link in their post? So for example, hey, check out this video here and then put a link in there, or, hey, check out my whatever it is and then put the link in there. Should people be putting the link in the post?
That's like, I don't know. It's a hard question to answer because you'll read different things in different blogs. Some blogs will say that it devalues the post because, much like most social platforms, you don't want to take people off of the platform and take them somewhere else. Meaning, if you're doing XYZ video and they have to watch the rest, they have to click this video to go to YouTube. LinkedIn doesn't like to push things out where it takes people off the platform. So there's a couple things that you can do. Number one, if it's business related, you can put a link in the description of your post, which is completely fine. But something that Nancy and I talked about in a prior episode is expectations over observations. Just don't be surprised if it doesn't get much traction. What I like to do is, in the description of the post, I'll say, watch the full video or check it out in the comments below. And in the comments of the post, I'll drop the link to either the workshop or a YouTube video or my website, whatever it is. The other thing that you can do, because with the capabilities that we have with our LinkedIn profiles, because you can add a link to your headline bio on LinkedIn, you could add links to your featured content section. You can actually direct people to your LinkedIn profile and just say, for more information or for the direct link, click this link to visit my profile, or just click on my profile to check it out. So that's my best recommendation, not to put it directly in the body of your post. Either put it in the comments, direct them there, or to just direct them back to your LinkedIn profile to have them click through there.
Got it. Excellent. Okay. So we
does that make sense, Nancy? Do you got it?
Yeah. It makes perfect sense.
Okay.
All right. So the next question I have, right? So I work with a lot of health insurance brokers, advisors, people like that. So for people who do advising and who work with others, does someone like that, even coaches, consultants, things like that, do they need a newsletter? And can you just briefly explain what a newsletter and what the perks are?
100%. I mean, that if you want to build a reputation of being a value-added person and an industry expert, having a solidified newsletter on LinkedIn is a great place to do that. I have around 7,500 subscribers on my LinkedIn newsletter, And my newsletter is called LinkedIn Tips and Updates. So why do you think people subscribe? Because they get a weekly newsletter edition from LinkedIn Tips and Updates on LinkedIn Tips and Updates. So if you're a financial advisor, if you're an insurance broker, if you're a coach and you're a consultant and you have a specific zone of genius or something that you focus on, you're going to want to create a newsletter that speaks to those specific things. So, and there's a couple reasons why. Well, first you have to turn on creator mode because that will allow you to access the LinkedIn newsletter feature. So it's just like writing an article, but it's specific to that newsletter. There's a couple of things why and reasons why I love LinkedIn newsletters. Number one, when you create a LinkedIn newsletter, LinkedIn invites every single first connection that you have to subscribe to your newsletter automatically. So when Nancy and I created our newsletters a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, we had 1,000 subscribers within 3 days because we have sizable networks. So LinkedIn actually pushes your newsletter out to your existing network. The second cool thing is every new connection that you make that is in your target audience, once someone accepts your connection request, guess what LinkedIn does? They actually send them an automated notification to subscribe to your newsletter since they just became a connection of yours. So it does grow organically. The other thing is when someone subscribes to your newsletter, they get a push notification from LinkedIn every single time a new edition of your newsletter comes out. So if you publish one like I do every Friday, then every Friday morning, you're going to get a push notification from LinkedIn in your notification section saying, hey, Scott just released a new newsletter edition to LinkedIn Tips and Updates. Check it out here, and then people can drive to it. Now, yes, Nancy?
Yeah, I just have some follow-up questions. Right?
Okay, so let me just finish with my last and most favorite point.
Yeah, okay.
Is in addition to the push notification that LinkedIn sends, LinkedIn also sends a personal email to every subscriber with a shortened version of your newsletter and says, join the conversation here with a clickable link that takes them right to your newsletter edition. So there is, and it's such a great way to build a know, like, and trust and gain clients, get visibility, get traction, all those things just by creating and writing content that's speaking to your audience.
Excellent. So I think that's a no-brainer for anyone listening. If LinkedIn's pushing it out there for you, I think when I first created my newsletter, I mean, I was writing articles anyway. I checked my newsletter probably a couple months later and I was at like 2,000 subscribers. Yeah. And so it's pretty awesome.
It's amazing.
So a question I get very often just while we're on the topic of newsletters is, you know, and it's tough to kind of explain it right to some clients. What's the big difference between, I mean, obviously we know all the bells and whistles with the newsletter, but what is the difference between newsletter and an article on LinkedIn?
Well, an article is a general long form post or blog that is just sent out into the general public of LinkedIn. So it doesn't get great visibility because it's sent to just such a wide demographic that it's not landing on specific eyeballs. With a newsletter, it's basically you're creating a subscription list. So people are specifically subscribing to that. And here's the thing. When you create a newsletter, there are automations that LinkedIn actually provides you for creating that newsletter, like I forementioned, the push notification section and the email. LinkedIn does not do that when you just write an article. When you just write an article, it just goes out like a post. And then if people find it, they find it. That's really it. LinkedIn doesn't notify people that you just wrote one, and they definitely don't email them. So the big difference between an article and a newsletter edition is they look exactly the same, but a newsletter is branded to your zone of genius. You can write articles that are branded to your zone of genius, but there's no overarching theme to it, but you're going to see much less engagement because LinkedIn isn't pushing it out to that general population that has chosen to subscribe to your newsletter.
Got it. But the content, as far as like what's written, right? It's basically like an article.
It looks exactly the same.
All right. So the other question I have, just tailing on the newsletter topic, is, you know, do you have any recommendations for naming your newsletter? Like, you know, if someone was just toying around with names, any ideas there?
Yeah, it should be something that's SEO or search engine optimized. So you want to make it very clear, you know, what it is, like life insurance tips and updates. It should be something, don't, like Nancy and I talk about this, like don't be cutesy, right? Don't get too cute with the name of your newsletter title. Make it something where if someone is scrolling through the My Network area where they're looking for newsletters to subscribe to, that the title of your newsletter speaks directly to the person that would get value from reading it. So again, that's why I called mine very simply, like LinkedIn tips and updates. So when someone is scrolling through it, they know why they're subscribing. They're subscribing because they want to read all about LinkedIn tips and updates. So make the title, and I think you're only allowed 30 characters, so you do have to be very short and succinct. So really make sure that the title of your newsletter speaks to the audience that, again, we talk about the passenger side perspective, very clear, very short, very succinct. So the person knows exactly what it is that you do and who you're serving. And that's why they're going to subscribe.
Awesome. All right. So moving away from newsletters, can you tell us just a couple, right? I know there's a lot, but what are a few of the perks to switching from just the regular mode into creator mode?
So I would say the top four things. Number one, it turns the connect button on your profile to the follow button. So it builds more of a following and it doesn't fill up your connections. So as an example, I have around 26,000 connections, but I have almost 30,000 total followers. So I have around 4,500 people that I'm not a connection with. They're just a follower of my profile. But it also protects you from a lot of the people that are trying to spam you through connecting and messaging, because a lot of the automated software picks up on the connect buttons, not the follow buttons. So that's the first big thing. Okay. Second thing is when you turn on the creator mode, you also can access the LinkedIn notification bell and the LinkedIn clickable link in your profile. So if you want people to be notified of more things that you're doing when you have creator mode turned on and someone does become a follower of your profile, they can click on your LinkedIn bell and they're notified of any activity that you push out, including your articles, posts, polls, everything that we talked about earlier. But also in the headline of your profile, where it says your name, you know, where you live, you can also put a clickable link where you can drive traffic online to offline. So if you want to drive traffic to a website, you can add it there. If you want to drive traffic to a specific testimonial video for your services, you can put it there. If you have a workshop, if you have a calendar link, you can put that there. Now, the two other big things that I love about creator mode is, number one, if you have over 150 connections or followers, you get accessibility to LinkedIn Live and LinkedIn newsletters. So going back to the last point, you have to have 150 connections to access the creator tools that LinkedIn provides. Additional ones are LinkedIn audio events, which in all transparency and honesty, I have not leveraged yet. I have to figure out where I'm going to squeeze that into my content plan as it stands on LinkedIn. But I would say those are the big things that I love about it most. Obviously, the follow feature, the LinkedIn bell and clickable link in your profile, but the creator tools such as LinkedIn Live and your LinkedIn newsletters.
Excellent. And how many followers? You said there was some kind of guideline that you had to have in order to be able to
You need 150 connections / followers to access the creator tools, which are LinkedIn audio events, LinkedIn newsletters, and LinkedIn Live.
Excellent. All right, cool. All right. So, the next question that I get often, you know, people ask, is it okay to share other people's content or other people's stuff? Like, for example, if I come across an article and I'm like, oh my God, you know, what's the protocol there?
Protocol is you can share it, but add your own insights above it. So don't click the share button. Just add 3 or 4 sentences about what enabled you or caused you to want to share it and your key points and what you resonated most with. Still treat it like your own post, put a call to action, put your hashtags in there for more, you know, clear visibility, but it's completely fine. But whenever you share, make sure you add your own insights to that thing that you're sharing.
Awesome. All right. My last little question. So I want to give you a scenario and I want to, you know, kind of pick your brain and see how you would, you know, what advice you would give. So if I'm a financial advisor and I am looking to create and post content on LinkedIn, right? I'm going to do 3 posts like you recommended. What types of content or what topics, right? As a financial advisor, really trying to attract my target audience, what could I be posting about?
Well, that's a tricky question because most financial advisors have to go through their compliance department, okay. and they have a lot of pre-templated information. But again, I would first check with your compliance department because they have a lot of stuff that they have to actually, it's one's called hearsay, the other is called grapevine, where they have to actually post through there. But anything that you, and again, if you have to go through compliance, which you're going to have to, and you're a financial advisor, what I would always share is industry updates, industry insights, maybe different products and services, meaning, you know, 401k versus an IRA, you know, investment types, ways to grow your wealth over time through certain investments, market updates and such. And again, you just have to be very careful with, you know, what you're posting, obviously going through compliance, but you know, sharing articles, writing articles, you know, short form video posts, but just make sure you go through your compliance department before you do so.
Got it. Okay. I will just tag just the last question there. So if I wanted to start creating video on LinkedIn, you know, just maybe something, you know, simple, any tips there, how I can actually create my first video and share some tips, on LinkedIn?
Easiest place to start for me, how I began is just through my mobile device. So whether you have an iPhone or an Android, just open up your camera roll, prop your phone up, have some good lighting in front of you or behind you, and just give a quick 30 second tip, you know, just record it, save it to your camera roll and just upload it right to LinkedIn through the app. You don't overthink it. You know, obviously that puts you into analysis paralysis. So just keep it very simple and succinct, 30 second, one tip. At the end of each video, just ask people what did they take away most from this tip, you know, comment below and see you next time. So don't overthink it, just do it and commit to doing just one a week. And after a few weeks, it's going to be like nothing.
Excellent. And what's the max time limit for videos on LinkedIn?
Yeah, if you're uploading directly to LinkedIn from either your PC or your mobile device, it's 10 minutes. So anything over 10 minutes, you'll probably have to do a LinkedIn live or, upload it to YouTube and then backlink it to there, which I don't recommend. If you're going to be doing an organic video, you know, just like I just spoke about, max, I would say keep it to 2 to 4 minutes. Just the attention span of people is very low right now. A lot of people are really pushing out short form content. That's why, you know, you and I both recommend, you know, 30 to 60 seconds in the very beginning and then obviously upping it from there. But if you're going to do longer form, don't go over 2 to 4 minutes. If it's going to be longer than that, I always recommend just doing a LinkedIn live.
Awesome. All right. Well, that is pretty much all the questions I have for you. I think you did a great job answering all of them. I actually took some notes myself.
You think I did a great job or I did do a great job?
I think you, no, I'm just kidding. You did a great job as always.
Well, before we end, I just want to let people know, as I mentioned earlier, I am doing that free workshop. It's called Creating Content on LinkedIn That Creates Sales. So you can just go to the description of this episode to sign up. It's from October 30th to November 1st, 1 to 2 p.m. EDT, live and recorded, and would love to see you there. And I will be going over the construct of your video, the construct of your market research poll, and the construct of a long-form post/article/newsletter edition.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much, Scott. And that is a wrap for our dual episode for today.
All right. So love and gratitude, and we will talk to you guys next time. Bye, everyone. Thank you so much again for checking out today's episode. And if you are listening through iTunes, Spotify, wherever you are, please leave me a rating and review. Let me know what you loved, what you would like to see improved, or ideas you have for future episodes. And if you are interested in taking your business to the next level, don't hesitate to go to my website, www.scottaron.net, where you can schedule a free discovery call with me, where I can learn more about you, your business, what you're struggling with, and how we can work together. And don't forget to check out my wife, Nancy, and mine, our free community on Facebook called LinkedIn Leads for Life. We would love to see you in there. Have a great rest of your day. And thank you, everyone, for your support. Grateful for each and every one of you.